Let's take our Bibles once again and turn with me to the book of John, chapter 13. John 13. I'd like to pick up kind of where I left off last time and look at just a couple of the last verses that I was dealing with. I'd like to deal with verses 16 to 19. The scripture says, verse 16, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he." It amazes me how now these two scriptures, I'm going through Proverbs, I'm going through John, and I would never have sense enough to know how to pick two messages that would just intertwine perfectly. But by the Lord's good providence, these two passages, as I was going over them, I began to realize the perfect harmony of God's Word in the setting forth the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to speak this morning for a few minutes on the topic of possessing the heart of a servant. Now I know this. I know that man, by nature, as he's born in Adam, he sees himself as a king. That's how he sees himself. I'm in control. He sees himself as the omnipotent one. He comes forth, the scripture says, from his mother's womb speaking lies, meaning that he does not think that he owes anyone the dignity of being truthful to him or being accountable. Man by nature is a liar. "I don't owe you anything." That's what man thinks. I don't have to be truthful to you. Whatever fits my fancy, if it's for my good, I'll just lie to you. I don't have to expose myself. Man thinks that he's the author and finisher of his own faith, and he determines his destiny by his own free will. But I know this. I know it. You that know him know it. Again, we know it in part, but we know it. Man that is born of woman is arrogant. He's foolish. And that's because of sin. Our Lord had just finished washing his disciples' feet. And he told them in verse 15, he said, "I've given you an example that you should do as." And I said last week, he didn't say like. We don't wash each other's feet. But there was a spirit in which he did what he did, and then told us, in that spirit, that's the spirit that you should do also. He is the great God, the God of all glory, who humbled himself and manifested his eternal position as being the servant of Jehovah. Here is the eternal servant of Jehovah who is exalted above all things. God has exalted him. Here is God's servant sitting on the throne of God Almighty as the God-man. Remember this. Whatever he's ever been, whatever he was while he was on this earth, God never changes. So whatever he was here, the servant of Jehovah, the high and exalted servant, the one who humbled himself. I just, here again, you know, these things that appear to the natural man to be so easily understood, these things are mysterious. Isaiah 42:1, behold my servant. That was written in the book of Isaiah. That was before the Lord ever came to this earth. He was God's servant then. He's always been God's servant. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment. My thoughts, my judgment, my determination, my call is what I call. He shall bring forth my judgment to the Gentiles. Almighty God, who was made flesh, and as man, perfect man, God, man, had God's Spirit put upon him, given to him. That shows you, here is the Lord God Himself. God equal with the Father, equal with the Spirit. Totally God. What could be given Him? Nothing. Nothing. But here He am. Here He is as man. Totally man. Perfect man. And God said, I put my Spirit on Him. God gave Him the Spirit without measure. You know, we would almost think, well, He didn't really need that. Now, that we have no right to even think that. That's a foolish thought on our part. God gave him the Spirit without measure. The Lord, the Creator, the Sustainer, the Governor of all things. He taught by demonstrating through His example how true love for Almighty God, true love for God Almighty, exhibits itself. Here it is. Service. Being a servant. This is the heart of a regenerated sinner. And oh, how much we need. How much we need to be taught. Oh, how far we fall. How far we come short. Here's the heart of a believer. Lord, what would you have me to do? And I can tell you this. I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm going to come short in all things. He said, without me, you do nothing. Lord, what would you have me to do? Not to earn my salvation, not to establish my righteousness, but because salvation and righteousness has been given, has been established, and that it is God that worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. I stand here this morning trying to preach, trying to be honorable, desiring to be honorable, and realizing all the while, what have I to glory in? Save the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified, His righteousness imputed to me, God Almighty by His Spirit taking God's Word. It is only the Word of God that God blesses. Marvin is just a voice. Marvin's just a mouthpiece. A frail creature that God has been pleased to show mercy to. The servant of the Lord Jesus Christ seeks God's honor. He seeks God's presence. He seeks God's glory and the Lord's praise, and seeks that first. And in, by the grace of God, that spirit of humility, seeks the Lord's good for those that the Lord has providentially caused His path to cross. Truly, I would desire the Lord to show mercy. As I've said before, I would desire God to show mercy to your kids. I want the Lord to save your kids. Your kids. Your kids. Your kids. I want the Lord to save mercy. Have mercy on my kids, my grandchildren. But I know this, I have no ability to do it. And I have one hope that the judge of all this earth is going to do right. He's going to do right. I was talking to a dear, dear, precious friend of mine, preacher that all of you know. I won't tell you who he is because it's not going to make any difference. And he was telling me just two or three days ago. He said, my mother, he said, is just so frail. And he said she despises the gospel of God's grace. He said she hates this message. And he said she's dying. And he said, lest the Lord shows mercy to her, she's going to die in her sins. You know, where do we go? We bow to Him who is the Lord. As His servants. And the God that does all things right is surely going to do us good. He said, my ways are not your ways. But I do know this. The greatest good that one would ever seek for another, the greatest good is for them to hear the message of the gospel of God's grace. I know that. Seeking the Lord. Humbling myself before God and asking Him, Lord, have mercy. What can I do as His servant? I love this passage of Scripture, 1 Samuel 12:23. Here was Samuel, the prophet. He said, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, in asking and asking and asking. As His servant, Lord, You're God. Lord, I am Your servant. Parents, seek as the servants of Christ the good of your children. Teach them the Scriptures. Take the Bible and open the Scriptures. And just tell them, you know, we're going to read out of God's Word. We're going to read out of the Lord's Word. We're going to read God's Word. Wives and husbands, seek and knock and ask as the servants of the Lord. the eternal good and salvation of your spouse. Ask Him. Believers, as the Lord has guided you and taught you, walk as His servants. Lord, help me. John 13:16, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Now the Lord was speaking to his apostles there, and in wisdom he revealed the true position as a servant. Now this is the Lord of glory. This is God Almighty who humbled himself. I'm telling you, by nature, I started talking all about, we're all born thinking we're kings and we deserve and we've got the right. Here is God himself. No one ever made himself lower than the Lord. We've never made ourselves anything. We're so proud and arrogant. And here was the God of all grace. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Servant, servant, servant. By God's calling, by God's grace, I am your servant. Your servant. As unto the Lord, to seek God's message, seek God's direction, seek God's passage of Scripture, and seek God's guidance, help, strength in preaching. Your servant. According to these Scriptures, I owe you. I owe you service. I owe you, esteeming every one of you better than myself. And I'm not trying to be just holy sounding. I mean it. I owe you that. I owe you that from the Scriptures. I owe you that honor. As your servant, as unto the Lord. Paul said, 2 Corinthians 4:5, I'll prove it. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. Boy, you want to know where harmony is found, where peace is found? When everyone else is esteemed greater than you. No, you deserve more honor than me. No, you do. For everyone else is above us. For you're more sensitive to God's Spirit than I am. You're more learned in God's Scriptures than I am. You're more prayerful, you're more seeking, you're more knocking, you're more asking than I am. That I am your servant. The servant of the Lord Jesus Christ sees all to be the Lord's. This is the Lord's. Time that I've got on this earth, that's His time. Any possessions that He's lent to me, that's His possessions. And I'll tell you this, they're to be used for your good. Your good. Not mine. Your good. Oh, to be found as His servant, sit at His table, to hear His word, to be in His presence. Servants, willing servants, are not self-seekers. They're those that have been taught something of their position. Needy. Verse 17, if you know these things, happy are ye. If you do them, happy, fortunate, extremely blessed. to esteem others greater than ourselves. Look at Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Here's the attitude of a believer. You know, I began the other message saying this, that it was the most convicting. This was the most convicting. Philippians 2, verses 3 to 8. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. His humility, his service, according to God's will, God's purpose, he's going to die. The servant of the Lord, the servant. Here he is, he humbled himself, washed his disciples' feet. The lowliest, I've read, the lowliest servant, the bottom of the barrel, the drag of the household. That's who washed the people, everybody's feet. The lowliest. And he, God Almighty, humbled himself. Man, by nature, resents self-denial. He hates it. I am not that low. Yeah, we are. We just don't admit it. Religious knowledge accompanied by just no self-denial is useless knowledge. Knowledge, scriptural knowledge, with no denial of self. That knowledge servants. Pray as a servant in your closets, in secret. What you have to say to the Lord, nobody else needs to hear. Be honest with God. I tell you, the first place that we need to be honest, Lord, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. Servants, give as servants. Give time and energy and finances and self, and do it as unto the Lord. Everything that I have, He's given me. You came into this world naked. That's how you're leaving too. Nothing. Not self-seeking. Verse 18, John 13. I speak not of you all. I know whom I've chosen. But that the Scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. The Lord says, I know whom I have chosen. Now this word, chosen right here, is not a word that means unto life. He was not referring. Let me show you. Turn to Luke 6. Luke 6. Luke 6. Verse 13 to 16. Luke 6, 13. The Lord, when he came to the calling of his apostles. Luke 6, verse 13. When it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and a bunch of them. Now that word disciples, it was just a bunch of people that were following him. He called unto him his disciples, and from them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. Now the Lord, back in John 13:18, he was telling them, he's talking about servants and the attitude of a servant, and the joy of a servant, the peace and comfort of a servant that does it as unto the Lord. He said in verse 18, I speak not of you all. I'm not talking about all of you. The Lord qualified his words and he says, not all of you is clean. You're clean, but not all of you that sat in the midst. The traitor was there. Judas was there. Not all of them had a heart of service toward him. One in particular resented him. Going to sell him out. I know whom I have chosen. That is unto service to me. I know the character of the ones that I've chosen. I know all the characters of you. 11 of you I chose. Have not I chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil? I speak not of you all. As though he thought that all of them were faithful. He knew they weren't. He knew they weren't. I know that you're not who you all claim to be. I know that the blood that I'm going to shed is not going to cleanse all of you. Because I'm not laying down my life for every one of you. I know whom I have chosen. But in his choosing of Judas to be an apostle, listen to these words. Now you talk about a servant. The servant bows to the will of God, bows to the honor of God, bows to God's word. Verse 18, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the Scripture may be fulfilled. That the Scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. He chose one that he described as a devil. One that manifested the heart of Satan. One that would do Satan's desire. And chose Judas Iscariot that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. He chose that one that would sell him out. And he knew it. He knew it. Walked with him. Talked with him. Spoke to him. He said, I know who I've chosen. I know who you are. I know what you've done. But that God's word might be honored. The Lord had prophesied that he was going to be sold out for 30 pieces of silver. And when he chose his 12 apostles, he chose one of them to be a devil. Chose a devil out of the group. Christ must choose to be an apostle. Not unto life, but to be an apostle. Judas. Choosing Judas honored God. Behold my servant, the one I uphold. I put my spirit on him. The Spirit of God directed him to choose Judas. And the Lord did it as a servant of God. He must befriend him. He must allow him to associate himself with him. He must wash his feet. Why? That the Scriptures might be fulfilled. Psalm 41:9 is what it says. Yea, mine own familiar friendly. I wonder how many times Judas laughed with him, spoke with him, listened to him. My own familiar friend, in whom I trusted Now that word right there is a little bit, we would take that word right there and we'd misconstrue. It means had refuge with. I brought him off alone with me. When I had the 12 apostles with me, he was one of them. I brought him with. We went off to a place secluded by ourselves. And he was right there in the midst with us. Which did eat my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Friendly. Had refuge with. But all the while, the Lord knew, I'm doing this that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. He hath lifted up his heel against me. When he said lifted up his heel, here's the definition. Kicked like a horse kicks while looking the other way. Just kicked me like a horse. That's just looking this way and just bam. A humbling, appearing to be humbling act of love, which was nothing more than rejection, betrayed him with a kiss. My own friend sold him out. Verse 19. Now I tell you before it come that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am He. What care our Lord set forth to His beloved disciples? He knew what was going to take place, and for their assurance, He taught them in His submission to God's will and God's purpose, being the servant of the Lord. I must choose Him. That God's Word be honored. That the Scriptures be fulfilled. The Scriptures must be fulfilled. That you might know before it comes to pass, when it comes to pass, I'm telling you right now, when you behold the traitor, you won't be disheartened and downtrodden, and you know, you're going to know I've done this that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. That I'm God. And then when they hear Him say, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. All that the Father's given me, they're going to come to me. You rest in that word, you rest in this word. You believe God. You trust Him. Wasn't going to leave them to wonder. Going to let them know. Soon, very soon, you're going to see all this come to pass. But I've kept you. All that the Lord has eternally purposed to do is going to come to pass. And He's showing them that He's the Savior of purpose, God's purpose, the mighty God, the victor over death, the prophet of the Lord. Now here's the servant of God. And all of these things that fell out. Somebody said, man, I cannot believe the way Judas betrayed him. The Lord knew that. Before that ever, it was prophesied. My own friend, familiar friend, he knew it was God's will. So therefore, just like in the first message, when these things come our way, do you think that God Almighty knew that those things were going to come your way? He sent them. He sent them. This didn't happen by chance. Whenever something comes our way, remember, as the servant of the Lord, Lord, help me to bow. Help me to remember. When somebody says something and hurts my feelings, it's the Lord. Let Him do that which is right and good. It's for my good. I needed it. That's what David said. When Shimei came to Him, I needed that. Throw rocks at him. That's what God said. You throw rocks at David. David said, I need it that the Lord might show me and have mercy on me in my affliction. Oh, Lord, teach us this day. Teach us to bow. Teach us to hope. Teach us to wait for Christ's sake.